Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know.
Okay, that version of the song, because we're recording this in San Francisco, that version is clearly the Kings just lost to a Pelicans team that's beyond shorthanded without Zion Williamson, who has scored 73 points in two games against the Kings. And, oh, by the way, the Pelicans snap a 10-game losing skid by putting a buck 40 on the board and beating you in overtime 140 to 133. The Kings head into the break at 28-27. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. We love them.
Need it.
Could use a bottle right now.
A bottle each.
Cheers. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Mo. My goodness, man. This is a frustrating one. This is one of those ones where you're just like, guys, you needed to lock in.
Just execute at the end. Like, even if you weren't going to play defense the entire game. Okay. Like, I get it. You're not the best defensive team. Whatever. Just get shit done at the end of the game. And they had so many opportunities to just pull away.
Yep.
Have it done. Be done. Do what you did the whole game on the offensive end. Or some of the game, most of the game. You look at the assist numbers. Things were moving around. The ball was flowing. The offense was flowing a little better. Just didn't do it at the end.
You were up 122 to 117 with 2.5 minutes to go. Should be enough, man.
Yeah.
Against this Pelicans team. We just talk about all the guys that they're missing, like Zion Williamson. He's out. Doesn't play second night of back-to-backs. The team won't let him right now. He's playing 28 minutes a night and still kills you all the time. But he wasn't playing tonight. Herb Jones, he's still out for the season now, right? They've got so many guys out. They trade Brandon Ingram. I'm not, like, discounting them because I think Willie Green has gotten this group to play hard. You can look at their record and be like, they suck, blah, blah, blah. Dude, I'm sorry, they play hard, and they've got talent on their team. But it doesn't mean you lose. You can't be losing tonight's game. And we were here at the end of the podcast last night talking about, man, Lakers handled business against Utah, and then they played Utah in Salt Lake City and got destroyed. You can't let that happen right before the break. And I think tonight why it's so frustrating is you're right. Yes, the defensive breakdowns, the defensive issues were on full display tonight.
Awful.
But it was the late game execution offensively that left you going, what are you doing here?
I don't understand too, because I think something that you and I have talked about the last couple of games is that you're seeing this team, the new look Kings, grow each game together. Like, you're seeing something else get tweaked or work a little better, or something else come together. The chemistry look a bit, like, as it should. They're practicing right in front of our eyes because they haven't had any practices because there's been so many damn games since all these players have been traded and acquired and everything. And tonight, it was like you saw a lot of those good things, even battling on the boards, the possession games, offensively, the assists, moving the ball around. So to just go away from it when it was needed most was where I just am like, I sit here so frustrated with that style of basketball that we saw there late in this game. And I was frustrated the entire game watching the defense. And I'll give the Pelicans some credit too, because even when the Kings were trying to get things done late game, whether they're going ISO or the ball just wasn't moving around, any Pelicans player, name them, would just come up, be physical, be aggressive, rip the ball away. So, I mean,
they would push in transition.
Get in them. Yeah. Yeah. And so it just, it was frustrating to see that the Pelicans really wanted it more at the end of the game, but that's also what Willie Green has done.
That's what I'm saying. Like the fact that a 12 win, now 13 yep. win team is competing like that at the All-Star break, you give him a lot of credit for keeping players engaged because they've been through a lot this year as a team,
a
shit ton that they've had to try to overcome. And here they are playing, like, let's be honest, a so-called meaningless game for that group. They're not getting back into the thing.
Zion is, I mean, healthy, right? Like, we can say he's healthy.
Right.
He just doesn't play in back-to-backs.
Right.
And so he played last night against the Kings, dominated in his 28 minutes, and then doesn't play tonight. Like, even that for a team, that's got to feel deflating. Like, oh, crap, like, he could play, but he's not going to play because the team won't let him play. And so, okay, let's get shit done against Domas Sabonis, who's a beast.
Let's talk about this late game stuff, because my perspective of it is like, look, DeMar DeRozan has won games in this league. He's won games for the Kings with big shots. Yes. It was clearly, at least tonight, not his night.
Yeah.
Other guys were cooking, namely Zach LaVine, 30-plus points, 10 assists. The first time he's had a 30-and-10 game in his career, he found good rhythm. But when the Kings were at their best tonight is when that ball was moving around, making the extra pass, and they were getting outstanding looks. They had 30 assists in this game at, like, the 4:49 mark of the third quarter. 30! That's an incredible number, but they finished with 38. Some of it's missed shots, right? There's second chance opportunities, but some of it is that ball got sticky and there was too much isolation basketball down the stretch. My perspective is it was the Kings, DeMar, looking for the kill shot, the dagger, as opposed to just playing basketball. And I've said this before to you, I don't mind an occasional ISO situation, but when other guys are playing well, when the ball is popping so much, that ball's got energy, I want it moving. I want to be attacking, collapsing the defense, drawing double teams. Instead, it felt like ISO mode, hunting mismatches, and I just don't think that leads to good things for Sacramento. They're at their best when the ball is moving and they're out in transition. And down the stretch, it was not like that at all.
No, it wasn't. And you know, I didn't feel like they came into this game not locked in, too. I'm glad that we're not necessarily talking about that, like, oh, the whole game, it really felt like it was going to be the game before the All-Star break. Oh, but toward the end of the game, if you're not locked in to what's working, or, for example, Zach LaVine shooting the ball well and playing well, get him the rock. Get him like, understand the personnel. Understand what was working to get to that point.
Get Sabonis some looks inside,
well,
man.
And we talked about that last night with his attempts.
At 22 and 28 tonight. And, yeah, so the late-game execution with the offense, not good at all. I don't think that's the headline. I think the headline tonight is the defense. CJ McCollum absolutely cooked them. They had an awful third quarter. They allowed 38 points, 21 of those from CJ, who tonight finished with 43 points in this game. Just the ultimate Kings killer. He destroys them.
And he didn't do it last night, which was so nice to see.
He was 16 of 25 tonight, 7 of 12 from downtown. He also had 7 rebounds in this game to go along with his 43 points in 41 minutes.
He made up for last night.
Yeah,
for missing,
sure.
for not making a three. He was like, well, let me knock down 7 tonight. And not only let me knock down 7, let's make sure that they're the most deflating threes. These are the most deflating moments. I mean, let's even go back to the last possession in regulation where the Pelicans...
The end of this game was outrageous.
The Pelicans are getting the ball inbounds just because this is CJ. Let me just mention this one. The Pelicans are inbounding the ball. No timeouts.
It's 127-127 with 5.8 to go.
And Keon is on CJ. And at first he's like kind of standing in front of him like, oh good, he's going to deny him the basketball. Let the ball go to whoever else. No, they stop because it was like they had this fear of maybe they were going to foul him. And CJ's a vet, knows how to draw that foul, do whatever. CJ gets the ball, pushes the ball down the floor. Nobody stops him. Gets an open look for a floater. Misses his easiest bucket all night. He was making threes with Keegan's hand in his face.
Which he can do. But also, sure, you could say that. He also got too many good looks. The guy,
yep, curled off of things. And it's like, how Morgan, are you getting caught behind the screen?
This Pelicans team. You have to find a way to contain C.J. McCollum. And look, Trey Murphy had an off game against Sacramento, 4 of 17. It seems like the only time he's gone off game from the field is against Sacramento because he's killing everybody else. He was 9 of 12 at the free throw line. But the defense on C.J. tonight, I'm just like, you're allowing him to get looks that he gets in practice. Like, you have to play him tight. And to your point, Morgan, even if you play him tight, he still may knock it down. But when you give him space or you take a bad route on a screen or you get hung up on a screen, the help defense has to be in there. You have to be in his space. You have to throw more blitzes at him. He got too many clean looks tonight where it was infuriating because it's not that CJ is playing with prime Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And it's like, there's a lot of guys to worry about. We need to stop that guy. He is the one killing us.
And that's, how many times have you and I had this conversation after a Kings loss when there's one guy going off and the Kings don't adjust to slow him down? Like, I get it. Like, there's going to be dominating guys that, for example, Zion getting downhill goes left. Okay, you can't stop it. But what I love that the Kings adjusted last night, they started throwing Jonas in there, Jonas Valanciunas. One, he knows his former teammate, so he knows what to do. But two, that big body made a difference. It altered Zion's shots in that game. Tonight, it felt like nothing was altering CJ's shots, but that's also because the plan of attack on it, of coming off a screen, where was someone else showing their jersey?
Yes.
Where was someone else stunting CJ or just keeping a hand in the face? I know you don't want to switch, but like, throw more blitzes. Like, I just felt like those in-game adjustments weren't being made. And I'm not acting like it's an easy job.
But it's a job. I mean, and the other thing that should be one of the adjustments.
What?
Keon's got to play 30 minutes every night. It just has to happen. And look, he got burned by CJ too before, but I know, in a situation where we need to stop, I need Keon Ellis out there, and I probably need Keegan Murray. And that's what makes it tough, right? Because you're taking someone out. Who you taking out? Well, tonight, you might just take out DeMar for a stretch, right? Now, last night, or whatever night it was it last night he had the monster game? What was the game DeMar had 42?
Was that that was last night, right? Or was that
I don't know.
Dallas?
They're all bleeding together.
Oh, my God.
My point is, anyway, Keon's got to be on the floor in those minutes. And I felt like Doug was relying on the starters to bring it home. Like, oh, they'll get it. Yes. They're going to make the right decision. They're going to make the right shot. Then we'll be fine. But it was clear that was not happening. And I think Keon's got to play these minutes. He played 23 minutes in this game. He didn't hit a shot tonight, 3 of 10. But he needed to be out there tonight to get stopped, or at least make life more challenging. Because even if he's not stopping CJ, he's making life more challenging, or he's playing the passing lanes, he's getting a deflection. Then the Kings are in transition, getting an easy bucket. And this team could not get stops.
DeMar had 42 against Dallas.
That's right. It was Keon with the big night last night.
Yeah. And yeah. So, and I think why this one hurts more than a usual loss too. One, going into the break, like, you feel that way. Ugh. But two, such a winnable game against a shorthanded Pelicans team. Three, you have dug yourself such a deep hole in this season that these games especially are the ones that you have to get if you want to get out of this hole and you want to see a postseason.
One other note I want to get to real fast. I mentioned CJ had 21 in that third quarter against Sacramento. Keon Ellis played 4 minutes and 35 seconds in the third. Okay. In the overtime session, when CJ had 11, Keon Ellis played a minute 22. And when they did go to Keon in that overtime session, they took Keegan out, you know? And Keegan had some rough moments against CJ tonight, trying to chase him around. You're asking a lot out of that guy to chase around CJ McCollum, trying to fight through screens and stay with him. But that's where I'm leaning defense in that moment. The Kings are going to look back at this game and go, man, what could we have done better defensively against that guy? And how could we have just executed slightly better late game to get a bucket when it mattered most? It was great that the game went to overtime, but I don't think anybody felt like they were felt great about it in the moment. It's like, okay, we're just going to escape here. This felt like a game the Kings, with how they played defense tonight, they didn't deserve to win.
That's, I mean, it's fair. And when they almost did get the win and we were preparing in regulation that, okay, like this is going to be a Kings dub. They found a way. That was, I think, more of my vibe of like, okay, they found a way. But all, this entire postgame podcast, their terrible defense was going to be talked about because you allowed this Pelicans team to drop that many on you in so many different situations where it just felt like it was a closeout, or the way you're navigating a screen, just some fundamental things that just can't happen.
Yeah. And I think, I know they played overtime, so it was five extra minutes, but you know, you do have a bench now. And I think you got to, and I think there is obviously a tendency to like, hey, we want the starting group. They're flowing right there. They're knocking down shots. I get it.
Trust.
I get it. But don't lean so heavy into the starters all the time. Like, let LaRavia get some minutes to go out there and cook. Yeah. You know, like, let Lyles, what can Lyles do out there in another stint? I know he's been up and down with the shot. And he has his own issues defensively. I just think you could have played the bench more tonight, too. And, you know, were some of these fatigue mistakes late in the game, settling a little bit late in the game on the second half of a back-to-back? Maybe. You have a bench that I think has been playing better because I think it's just a better bench in general. They've been efficient. They've been rebounding well. They've got good size. I would have leaned into that a bit more tonight.
Frustrating. I'm trying to think if there's any other examples that I really want to make sure I'm talking about in tonight's game. I mean, that's what's tough about this one too, because there were some good things that we've already mentioned, or I mean, we mentioned the postgame show that the Kings were doing with some of the ball movement, getting those assists, and then you look at the rebounding for them as well. The 21 offensive boards, I mean, just cleaning stuff up. That's Domas with his 28 rebounds.
They had 112 shot attempts in this game. 112.
A possession game. They won.
Now, to be fair, the Pelicans had 92, but they also shot 34 free throws in this game. The Pelicans also shot 50% in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They hit 21 of 50 from three. 21 of 50 for 42%. Sacramento wasn't terrible from three. They cooled down the stretch, though. They were 17 of 47 from downtown.
Did you mention the turnovers for the Kings?
They had 15, which, you know, isn't bad considering they had 10 in the first half. And this has been a theme, back-to-back games with 10 plus or at least 10 in the first half. They got to clean that up. I think some of them is like, oh, they're doing the right thing out there. There's some forces. I'm with you, though, Morgan. It's like, God, 38 assists. You knocked down a healthy amount of threes. LaVine got going finally. He had 32, hit 5 of 12 from three. Sabonis, 22, 28 rebounds and 5 assists. Those are nice numbers, but ultimately it's the execution down the stretch. It's DeRozan 5 of 16. It's Monk 8 for 24. And then defensively is probably my biggest concern. I think more times than not offensively, this team is going to be fine with this group that they have. But I don't know, man. I think we have seen it against shorthanded teams. They've had to grind some of these games out. I mean, last night wasn't easy.
No.
Right? And the Dallas game wasn't easy.
You know, but
the Pelicans game, the first one, wasn't necessarily easy. Like, they need the practice time. We can all acknowledge that. But we're talking about opponents right now, three of them being the Pelicans.
Yes.
And then a Dallas team that is severely, like, mentally and physically broken right now.
They beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, It's been a bit of a struggle. So that's why, like, this, they need to get mentally locked in and ready to go in this break.
Here's where I'm at, though, too. When we do talk like that, I go, yeah, but at the same time, this Kings team, I don't think is as good as we are hoping it is, just because their talent is on the same.
For sure.
Like, you know what I mean?
No, but what I'm saying is my concern is looking ahead at the schedule. Like the first game out of the break, you got Golden State. There's tough competition down the stretch of the season, some home games, which is great. But if you're defending like this...
Oh, yeah. You're just dominating.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we talk about some of these, like, go back to the Dallas game and even think about at times we're just like, oh, this matchup. Well, Gafford goes down. And tonight we find out Gafford's going to be out now for 6 weeks, maybe more.
That's a big blow for Dallas.
It's huge. Yeah. And we were talking about the size, and obviously AD is out too, but we were talking about the size and how that's really difficult for the Kings that time. Okay, Kings found a way to get a win. Gafford went down in the second quarter. Kings fought through. Then against the Pelicans, how many times is it like, okay, Zion's going to always be just a matchup nightmare for this Kings team? But then it was nice. You saw the addition of Jonas Valanciunas, just being able to just add something different, make adjustments. Loved it. Great. Then they find a way to get a win. Zion's not even in tonight. You have guards that know how to put some pressure along the perimeter, but you still couldn't find a way to slow down CJ McCollum. I don't know. That's the guy that you just needed to slow down tonight. And the Kings knew that because they've been tortured by CJ for so many years now. So many years.
Yeah, dude. He has never forgiven the Kings for not drafting him. And I think, said as much in the past. I think maybe as a member of the Blazers. Mm-hmm. And he torches them, you know? He just absolutely destroys them. And like, he's obviously a good player. Like he's a guy that's just such an underrated offensive player, in my opinion. But man, that was a tough watch, and it's a game that you're exactly right. You look at it and you go, you can't punt these ones. You know, you can't punt these, because these are the games you look back at the end and go, oh man, we could have been the 7th seed in a 7-8 matchup, but man, we lost this game to the Pelicans and this game against this team, and man, we are the 10th spot.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. And yeah, that's that could be a critical moment. And now it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here, like, whoa, with everything. What's
Sean
up?
Sean said, breaking news, CJ McCollum just hit another 3-pointer while we were talking.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Somebody's got to stop him.
We do have breaking news. Yes, what? CJ apparently did hit that 3 just now, and they are counting it for some reason.
Because guess what? The clocks don't work because there's another huge delay.
17-minute delay.
That was 17?
That's what Kyle Draper said. I don't know. I wasn't timing it, but 17-minute delay because there's a clock issue. And it's never a good feeling as someone at the G League level when we do get these games. I can't tell you how many times we get like some clock malfunction, like an equipment issue. And we've been there many times. And you're like, oh, here's 20 minutes, just hanging out. But it's never a good sign when you've got like 5 people huddled around, including the refs, looking at the equipment, and they're like scratching their head like, huh.
It's really broken.
Yeah, so what? And then like one guy's on his phone, and you're like, he's like, and he's texting like with one finger. And you're like, oh, we're going to be here for a while. Okay. They have no idea what's going on. He's going to text somebody. Hopefully that guy is paying attention to his phone. You know, it just felt like, where was he? I need in that situation, it's got to be like NASCAR pit crew. We're pulling over. We got a flat tire. Could you imagine? Flat tire, Daytona 500. Who would have thought I'd have a racing reference on this show?
Not me.
You pull into your pit, and your pit crew is like, oh, huh.
We haven't seen that before.
I think it's a flat tire.
So then they take out their phone, they text someone. And go,
hey, flat tire, can you bring over the tire? You lost the race, okay? You lost the race if that happens. I need a pit crew ready for clock malfunctions. We're just like, oh, clock malfunction? Bring in the backup thing.
Good.
The first sound was good. My sound's after
no,
that.
No, so I thought it was good. Say with, be confident.
All right. Let's get this hurried up.
I didn't think he was actually going to go back and try to do it again. Okay, good. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. It was way too long.
Dude.
And
it happens too. I feel bad.
And that's the thing. I think about the people at the sports table in that situation, and they're just like praying that the camera isn't on them, even though you're going, it's not even their fault. It's the equipment.
And a lot of times it's the equipment. And the other thing is, we never at the end of a game go, hey, you know, let me tell you something, Morgan, just a quick note on the pod. I thought the clock operators tonight, fantastic. No. The scoreboard operator was just locked in tonight, and you just have to appreciate because the game flow was good.
They get no love. They only get hate when they fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for making me laugh for a second because this was not a fun one. And I like you trying to add a little humor to it by reading a comment about CJ hitting another three.
That was funny, Sean. Good job.
Yeah, no, and this is one of those games. I hate being that guy, but it's one of those games where you're just like, it's so hard to find something good because you're like, yeah, 38 assists, awesome. And then when you say that number, I go, yeah, but the ball got sticky light. You know, or, oh, man, this number, it's like,
I know.
Yeah, LaVine was awesome.
And
but
you
got to
play the whole game the right way. And that's, I think when I do look at some of those numbers, though, is because I do still a little bit right now look at this team working on the fly.
Sure.
So then when I do see something actually, I see growth in a category, I'm positive about it, but I don't forget what we just watched there at the end or throughout the entire game on the defensive end or even with some of the turnovers. Yeah, it just, man, it's tough. But you said it on the postgame show. I don't know if you said it here.
Yeah.
And you said this All-Star break, the number one thing all these guys need to do is just rest, disconnect, do what you like, go away. Go away, rest. Everyone, like, you have to recharge because if you don't step away from it, there's no way, like, your battery will be full when you come back against the Warriors.
Well, and I think that's another frustrating aspect of this one is, like, you wanted to have that feel. Like, if you just escaped with a win tonight.
Yeah.
You know? And this was not a game you felt good about, really, no matter what, with the way it ended. I mean, I'm just looking back at the notes, too. It's 127-124. With 8.8 left. I just can't believe it. Then they foul Sabonis because they don't want to give up a three, uh-huh. Right?
Uh-huh.
Sabonis makes the first one. Malik flies in there to get the offensive rebound. It's 127-125. And I'm thinking, oh, no, Malik's going to have to try to put up a shot here. I can't believe the Kings are getting another look. Bruce Brown fouls him. Puts him at the line,
that
tie
was
game.
Such a like, bad foul by Bruce Brown.
And Sabonis missing the free throw was like, it would have been great if it was intentional. No, Morgan, don't look at me.
No, it wasn't. But how great did that turn out? Malik Monk just soaring in from the top of the key.
He did that the other night.
I know.
The games are all bleeding together, just so you know. Yeah. So it could have been last night. Could have been 2 games ago.
Maybe it was tonight.
Was it last year in a game? I don't know. But that was a crazy moment. I love seeing Malik do that. It was almost a shame that he got fouled. I would have loved to him to like bury a three and end it or something. But
yeah, I mean, we all would.
And then we already talked about this. So, and then obviously CJ, dude, got the best look probably in NBA history, late game situation. No timeouts, 5.8. And this guy goes end to end.
I don't even care that he missed it. I was more upset that he got that look.
Morgan, like, I promise you.
What?
If he missed it, they would have had a camera shot. If he made it, I would have flipped this desk.
This is too heavy.
Morgan, are you kidding me? I'm ripped, dude. I was in the gym this morning and yesterday morning. Ripped. Staying locked in.
Whoa.
Don't make me take my shirt off today.
Please don't. Please don't.
Oh, man. Appreciate the live chat hanging out with us tonight. Our simply the best player of the game. Gee, I wonder who that is.
CJ McCollum?
Yeah, it is, but I want to make sure I put the graphic in.
Oh, no.
Oh. Jebediah came through. Our simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors. You need new windows. There's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest Exteriors. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary. Go to their showroom, check out their windows for yourself, and it's a game changer for your house. New windows adds value to your house, makes them look sexier, makes your house more efficient. You save money on your energy bills. That's a win-win. Anyway, our simply the best player of the game tonight, CJ
McCollum.
43 points, 16 of 25 shooting, 7 of 12 from 3.
Good for him.
He had 21 in the third quarter, and he had 11 in overtime.
Dude.
Morgan, do you hear me?
Yeah, 11 in overtime.
11. Like,
make adjustments. Again, I'm not acting like that's an easy thing to do against a player, one, that's on fire, but two, against CJ, who is not only just a bucket from beyond the arc against the Kings mostly, but is also crafty in his ability to still get to the rim, have a beautiful floater, whatever it is. Yeah, he's doing that all night against the Sacramento Kings, finishing with 43.
I don't think that any player has ownage of a team like CJ McCollum owns the Sacramento Kings. Like, I'm just like,
it's
tonight.
A long time, too.
Okay, so let me just read you the last. This is just like the last year, okay? 7 for 12 tonight.
Okay.
From three. This is just threes I want to get to real fast, okay?
Yeah.
Hear me out. 7 of 12 from three. He was 0 for 5 last night. Wipe that away. Before that, 6 of 11. 6 of 11. 9 of 12. 7 of 10. I'm not putting in the 1 of 2 because that was a play-in game, so we just wiped that away. I'm just talking about regular season games. Yeah. 7 for 12, 6 for 11, 6 for 11, 9 of 12, 7 for 10 from 3.
So
are you kidding?
If he does that once to you, like, you know, adjust. If he does it twice, figure it out. If he does it 3 times, like, get physical.
Here are the point totals. 43 points, 31 points, 36 points, 31 points, 30 points. I mean, it is absurd what he does against the Sacramento Kings.
Look, and tonight, sometimes it's wild what he's capable of doing. Sometimes it's the Kings' bad defense. And tonight, I think it was a combination of both because there was some of the threes contested hand in the face from Keegan Murray, who is long, who is big. But then there was other times where he did a fantastic job curling off a screen and just his teammates getting him the ball perfectly, the timing in the shooter's pocket and him just shooting up like, this is cute. This is easy. He wasn't the Kings didn't make him feel them. And you have to do that against someone who's going to kill you every single time.
Do you think if they, here's the other crappy part about this game.
What?
You have to show them the tape of this, right? And when they come back, I know you want to, hey, reset, new vibes, but
you do this because you're going to go up against Steph. And
yeah, well, you're talking about the defense. I was sorry. Yeah, I was thinking about late game again. And and the fine line with DeMar DeRozan picking his spots, dude. And it's, how do you go about that? Are you just like, hey, here are the opportunities that we could have gotten if we made the right spot? You just highlight it in a nice way because you don't want to like tell a vet who's done it year in and year out, who's been able to take over games, like, what the hell are you doing? But at the same time, it's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are we going ISO here? Look at the ball movement. I guess you know what you do? You show examples of the first half and you show some of the assists from DeMar.
Examples.
Like, hey, look at when the ball's popping. What did it lead to?
Yep.
Okay, now I want to show you the last 2 minutes. What did this
positive
lead to?
Positive reinforcement.
There you go. Yeah. I talked our way through it.
You did. Yeah. Coach Deuce Mason.
Thanks, man.
There you go. No, I mean, that's what it is. It's like, instead of showing the bad, you can show the good. Now, you can also show the bad, so then you go, oh, my gosh, traumatized. Never want to see that again. Never want to do that again. But I also think really showing what works so well can trigger something in someone's brain being like, yeah, and that feels good. That brings me joy. I like playing good basketball. I like making other people better. I like getting mine. Leads to so many good things.
We got more of the podcast in just a second. We got to give some love to some awesome sponsors who have been hanging with us during the ups and downs of a Kings season, to say the least. Also, all you people who hang out with us, you basketball sickos, whether they win or lose, you're here, whether live or watching or listening later. We seriously appreciate you guys being here with us. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We're presented tonight by our presenting sponsor, Centivo Vineyards and Winery, Morgan Reagan.
Could definitely use a bottle right about now. I had some people in here asking us about the bottles, and what's so fun to say is that it's some of the best wine I've ever had. We both have ever had. And what's really cool is that they're really good people too. So local, good people, good business, great product. And you can try it out yourself too. You can go to their tasting room right now at Eldorado Hills. You can go to SentivoVineyards.com. And they have a tasting room coming up in spring of 2025 in Fairfield. And I know that we're definitely going to be there. But seriously, they are the best. Their wine is the best. And if you want some of their stuff, make sure to go to SentivoVineyards.com.
We're also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. It also pays to be a Golden One member. How about 15% off Ooh. Kings merch? How about up to 50% off Kings home Ooh. Games through their discount ticket portal? So many perks for being a Golden One member. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Scan that QR code and you get all the information you could possibly need to start your financial journey today. Go to GoldenOneCreditUnion.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
We're thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. For over 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. So Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Also presented tonight, I had my mic off, sorry, for just a quick second. That's my bad. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Rocket
the Money.
Okay, let's try that one more time, Morgan. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Rocket Money.
The start of a new year. It's the perfect time to get organized, set goals, and prioritize what matters most. And for me, that is getting my finances right, honey. Rocket Money pulls together all of my spending across all of my different accounts so I can clearly track my spending habits and see where I can cut back.
Well, what is Rocket Money? Well, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and have saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features.
Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon today. That's rocketmoney/.
Oh my God. Oh
my God. Yeah, rocketmoney.com/gameon today.
rocketmoney.com/gameon. All right, Morgan Reagan, yes. Let's get to some of the comments, including one here saying, just move the damn ball. That's what worked earlier in the game. Why do they always think it won't work later in the game? Dude, it is one of my pet peeves as a basketball fan, and I understand defenses clamp down a little bit late games, right? But it's just mind-boggling. Like, hey, we've been playing one way the entire game, and I understand you want to protect the lead, you're up. But, dude, this team is at their best when they play a little fast, right? When they're playing with aggressiveness, when they're getting in the paint and moving the ball. Not when you're, all right, we're slowing it down. It's like this, we're milking the clock thing. And I mean, we said this last year about this group. I'm like, you guys didn't win the game yet. You're not, that's fine with like a minute to go, 45 seconds to go. You're up 7 or 8, sure. But when you're only up like 5 points, 6 points with 2.5 to go, that is so much time. And execution down the stretch is at a premium. I'm getting worked up again thinking about it. It's like, just play basketball. Why do we go away? And it's not just isolated to Sacramento, but like, we've seen this with the Kings. Why do you go away from just, hey, let's attack? Oh, no, we're going to dribble this one out. We're just going to, hey, we'll wait late in shot clock. Why?
Why?
Because you're going for the dagger instead of playing basketball.
I mean, we've talked about it. All podcasts.
I know.
But I love that other people feel that same type of passion and frustration with it, because sometimes, I guess too, I think why we feel it more, it's against a team and it was in a game that felt so winnable and so, like, it was doable. Don't get back. I liked when we were like happy and joking again. Like I was feeling better. Yeah, and then we just went back.
I know. Perspective. I'm alive. Yeah. Manuel, super chat. Would have loved to see Keon and Keegan on the floor defensively tonight in overtime. DeMar was ice cold. Boxen won to close the game. CJ was cooking. Yeah, they need to throw some different looks at CJ.
Boxing one, I love it. It's not even. I think they could have done a little bit more blitzing, even because even if DeMar's guy was in the corner and it was Sabonis that was going to blitz with Keon or Levine or whoever else, DeMar's good at being down there to help at times.
Sometimes. Sometimes he'll try to take it, like do a half-hearted like attempt at taking a charge.
That's where he has to commit to just doing the right thing. Even for him, that's sometimes shadowing the basketball, and he has the IQ to do so, to strip somebody. But sometimes it's just overthinking it.
I also think they did blitz him, and a lot of the times when they did not blitz CJ, it was because it was in transition. And it's a bad offense leading to bad defense. And they were pushing. If they were getting a rebound, it was out. And they were getting down the floor, or there was a turnover. And, you know, you put yourself in some compromising positions defensively where you're looking, oh, my God, where's my man? And then CJ is coming down as a trailer and stepping into a three. There's a light contest. But for someone like him, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
Kevin Durant in the chat says, can Jake LaRavia make a dunk? Nope. Dude, that was such a sick play by him, too. He stole it and went for the hammer jam and missed it.
I was like, just go for the two-hand jam. Just go for the – and he's just testing things out.
Also, someone says Zach is terrible at defense. He was the main reason why he became hot in the clutch. He was cherry-picking under the net when CJ wasn't even near it. I don't think it's just isolated to Zach. There's just a lot, and it just goes back to what we're talking about with, like, hey, a little more Keon, please. Let's get him back to 30 minutes.
Yes,
I think
please.
When Keon plays 30 or more minutes, the Kings win many more games. And you're going, well, what's the official stat?
I don't know. Do you have that?
This is just going by my feel, and I just feel that way.
That's a good
feeling. It could be complete shit. They could be 2-50, but in my head, they've lost maybe four games.
It feels like a different game. I get it.
Also in the chat, I got a couple people making fun of me tonight.
Why?
Because during our pregame with Kyle and Katie, at the end, I just, hey, Kyle, can we just like get a 20-point win tonight? Blah blah. Adrian's like, you can't say that, dude. You jinxed it. And someone else was saying, dude, stop asking the Kings to win by 20. They always lose when you do. Yeah. The other thing, you know, the other thing I said at halftime.
What?
At halftime, I was like, my key to the second half.
Yeah.
Hold this team to 110, and you win. This team had 110 with like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, dude. Insane. So we're officially at the All-Star break. The Kings are off.
Oh, thank God.
They play next in Sacramento after the break against Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and the Golden State Warriors. That's going to be a big-time matchup. I think that's an ESPN game as well, and it's a big game, right? Warriors are right next to the Kings in the standings. Every game's big, but that carries a little more weight when you're taking on the Golden State Warriors. Man, in all seriousness for a second, this has been a crazy stretch. We are 55 games into the NBA season, and talk about a roller coaster ride of a season. We experience it in game with this team. Oh my God, up 20, down 20, up. Oh, they're going to win. No, just kidding. They're sitting a game above 500 at 28-27. We've seen a coaching change. We've seen De'Aaron Fox traded. I don't think I would have predicted any of this before the season.
No, I mean, you're like, we always make preseason predictions, and yours was very different, and you had a lot of different expectations. That's funny.
Banta in the chat says this season has been 3 years long.
It has. I feel 3 years older. I really do. It's been a lot. It's been emotional. It's been a lot.
Steven says it's the most mid roller coaster you ever rode. Yeah, no, this has definitely been, and I've used this example before talking about this team, it's definitely like a county fair roller coaster or a state fair. The ones where you're like, dude, did they pass inspection? Yeah. Has this been inspected
today?
Should
we get on this ride?
How old is this?
Yeah.
Who's running this show? Wait, is this kid? This kid is running this right now? He's on his phone. Like, what is happening?
Texting.
He's He's on TikTok
right now. I love that everyone, a lot of people are feeling the roller coaster. They're feeling the rainy night, depression. I get it. But you guys, we made it. We made it to All-Star break. We're here. Like, I'm not going into this break feeling down. I want to feel good. I need to feel good.
Yeah.
I need to recharge. I don't want to do social media. I don't want to do anything. I just want to like drink Scentiva wine and a martini. And
watch and hang out in San Francisco for All-Star Weekend. We're going to be
but
All-Star Saturday night.
I know more basketball, but
the All-Star game.
For it.
No, this is the fun part, yeah. though. You get to meet more people in the business. You
sleep a little.
Be around the best talent in the world.
Yes. So cool.
And yeah, it's our first All-Star experience. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited to, but I'm with you too. I feel like we're all, everybody, we're all drained, right? Like, you guys are here every podcast, okay?
Yeah, you're all the crazy ones watching guys, games and then the podcast, yeah, sickos.
You've been through a lot, too. So hopefully everyone can take a deep breath, get away from basketball for a second.
Yeah.
And then for the Kings, it's like they probably get back into town like Wednesday-ish, I think, of that next week.
Okay.
And they'll get a couple of practices in and
cool.
Hopefully everyone's kind of recharged, ready to go, refuel. They make whatever tweaks they need to make. We didn't see Markel Fultz tonight. He was dressed and available, but he did not play in this game. So we'll see if he can get acclimated. Maybe he gets some run with this group. But look, man, when we get back, there's how many games left? Like 27?
I think that was the number that you said.
26, 27?
Yeah.
Either way, it's not that much. You know, everyone looks at it as the halfway point of the season. No. Like, this is the home stretch. We'll be here every step of the way. Can we just push for a play-in? 7th seed. That would be great. Avoid OKC. Also, Mornell, real fast super chat. Do you think the defense would have been different with Markel Fultz? I don't know, man. I mean,
probably not tonight.
Yeah.
Probably not tonight.
Just got there enjoying them today. I mean, maybe it could have been.
But
who knows? Get to your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I think whenever we reach these points, whether it's the holidays or it's like a new year or something else, we reflect. And I think as we go into this break, I really did think about, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss everyone for 5 days. I get like that. And I hope you guys sometimes feel the same way where it's like, we just all enjoy being together, whether we're talking about a win, whether we're talking about a loss. So just always thank you so much for always joining us, but for always hanging out with me and giving me friends virtually.
Yeah.
I'm a loser.
If we were not doing this podcast and reading your chats and hanging out with you and engaging with you, I would be like
in the rain
in my own head all the time going, oh my God, Keon Ellis, Damar, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's nice to experience the highs and the lows with a group of people.
Love the highs though.
For the most part, you like. I mean, some people in the chat, I'm like, I want to fight.
No, even the ones
with wisdom and words and
good, yes,
and love.
Good.
Final, doesn't make sense. I've reached my breaking point.
Yep.
Final thought. Buckle up. Let's go. I'm sorry if this podcast tonight was a little too gloomy or down. I felt like we did a lot of bitching tonight, but.
But what were we supposed to do?
You know how I think sometimes. I just still like to laugh and have fun. We did laugh a little bit.
We did laugh.
Okay.
Ha ha, funny. Ha ha.
Okay.
Ha ha, joke, funny. Go on.
Were you practicing a song earlier today too? At one point?
Was I?
You were?
What was it?
I thought I heard you practicing a song.
What would it be?
I don't know.
I am being dead serious.
I think no. I was like, oh mate, I honestly thought what you were doing, if they won tonight, you had something. Because it's like All-Star break, and I thought you had a song. So I was just wondering if you were. I'm not.
Hey now, you're an All-Star. Get your game on. Go. Rest in peace.
Kings have no All-Stars. Get some rest in. Let's play. Need some practice time.
Are you being serious?
So we can get some stops.
You're so good.
Dude, real fast on that.
What?
I'm aging myself here. I made a joke today.
What?
That I was like 25. Obviously, I'm not 25. Anyway, Smash Mouth, All Star. It was a big song in like, what, 97, 98?
Was it late 90s? It wasn't early 2000s? Whatever, who cares? Keep going.
I used to call the local radio station over and over again to play the song at the request line. I think it was 100.5 The Zone at the time in Sacramento. I would literally, the song would play on the radio. I'd call right after, can you play Smash Mouth All Star?
And you're the reason why music radio isn't around anymore.
Yeah, probably.
Kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be good. Let's recharge.
We love you guys so, so, so much. But we got to go.
You all have so a stupid. Wonderful rest of your night.
See you next week. Bye.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.